White, a blank page or canvas? The challenge, bring order to the whole. Through design, composition, tension, balance, light, and harmony.
George, why is it you always get to sit in the shade while I have to stand in the sun? Hello, George. There is someone in this dress. A trickle of sweat. The back of the head. He always does this. Now the foot is dead. Sunday in the park with George. One more. The collar is damp. Beginning to pinch. The bustle slipping. I won't budge one inch. Artists are bizarre, fixed, cold. That's you, George, you're fixed, cold. I like that in a man, fixed, cold. God is hot out here. Well, there are worse things than staring at the water on a Sunday. There are worse things than staring at the water as you're posing for a bishop being painted by your lover. Petticoat's wet, which adds to the weight. The sun is blinding. All right, concentrate.
Eyes open, please.
Sunday in the park with George.
Look out at the water, not at me.
Sunday in the park with George. Well, if you want bread and respect and attention, not to say connection, modeling's no profession. If you want instead, when you're dead, some more public and more permanent expression of affection, you want a painter, poet, sculptor, preferably marble, granite, bronze, durable, something nice with swans that's durable forever. I love your beard, George. I love your sides, George. But most, George, of all. but most of all, I love your painting. I think I'm fainting. The tip of a stay. Right under the tit. Now don't give in, just lift the arm a bit.
Don't lift the arm, please.
Sunday in the park with George.
Bustle high, please.
Not even a nod, as if I were trees. The ground could open, he would still say please.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with today's guest, DJ Hybridist. Good afternoon, Sandra.
Oh, hello, William. Thanks for having me back. It's been a while. Okay.
And, of course, this show repeats at 9 o'clock on Sunday. So,
on Sunday.
Indeed. So that will be good timing for Sunday in the Park with George.
Yes, which we just started with. That's the opening from the original Broadway production with Mandy Patinkin and Bernadette Peters.
Yep.
Mandy Patinkin playing the painter, George.
Right. Georges Seurat.
Yes.
So the pointillist, post-impressionist painter.
Yes. Would he have been called a post-impressionist?
Well,
or
he was by some.
Or by himself?
He was called a post-impressionist by some.
Yes.
And I think a neo-impressionist by others.
Well, people love their categories, don't they?
Yes.
Yes. But he did stand alone virtually, didn't he? Didn't he just make his own kind of...
He did, but I suppose he's actually... I'm not absolutely sure, but I think he's a contemporary of Van Gogh and Gauguin and the sort of the post-impressionists.
Yes, well, there were a lot of extremely talented people around at that time, weren't there?
Yeah.
So each person had to find their own.
He sort of started pointillism, which I think was followed by two or three other people, notably Paul Signac.
Signac, yes.
And others. But yes. Anyway, today we're going to concentrate on the Sondheim musical.
That's right, which is based on, as you say, the... Georges Seurat's famous painting, which took 2 years to create from 1884 to 1886,
yeah.
Which the English translation is A Sunday Afternoon on the Island of La Grande Jatte.
Yes, which we in fact visited not so long ago.
We did indeed, and when we asked some people along, sort of tour operators, they didn't seem to know. I mean, notwithstanding the accent might have been wrong and so on.
That's true. We asked in Paris, didn't we? We said,
yes.
Where is La Ile? Is it De La Grande Jatte?
Yes.
And they didn't know what we were talking about.
No, but it might, they didn't seem to recognise any part of what we were saying.
No.
Even although, obviously, their English is probably better than our French and so on.
Yeah.
And they were tour operators.
Indeed.
But we
persisted and found it of our own volition.
And it really was worthwhile because there's nothing quite like going to the place where an incredible painting, which doesn't, as we found also, to digress immediately, the painting doesn't exist. You can't see it in Paris because it's actually in Chicago.
Right.
So the French have let go for reasons, you know, that I'm sure are economically sound.
Yeah.
let go one of the most famous paintings.
And it's a very, very long, thin island. We walked all the way around the perimeter.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of tracks to get through, don't we?
We do indeed.
Perhaps we should, if you could just give me a bit of background on that track. Is that, you say Mandy Patinkin?
Yes.
For those who aren't familiar with Mandy Patinkin, we should say this, of course, is a famous man who stars in Homeland, amongst other things.
Yes, he's... it's very difficult. I don't like, as we've just discovered, categories are very limiting in themselves. He is an incredible performer. He just happens to have the most phenomenal voice.
Yeah.
A phenomenal being. He is an incredible individual who performs, sings, dances and acts, Homeland yeah. being sort of the current high point of yeah. that acting career. But yes, he has appeared in lots of musical theatre starting, well, I'm not sure when it started, but he did a famous version of Che Guevara, for instance.
Oh, right.
So
yeah.
And he is the first person to play this character. This was...
Oh, right. Because he looks very young in this picture,
doesn't
he? He does.
Well, this is from 1984, and this wow. is the piece that Sondheim won the Pulitzer Prize for, uh-huh. for drama.
Okay.
You know, the Pulitzer, obviously, is a standard for excellence.
Yeah.
What the criteria is for this, I'm not quite sure, but obviously it's something in the same way as with Seurat, it's something to do with breaking new ground in some way or another. I imagine at least that has to come into
there is an amazing clip of Potemkin on YouTube, isn't there, of doing, is it South Pacific? Can't remember now. He looks very young there.
Yes,
in a,
yes.
He's a sort of...
Bally High, is it?
No. no, it'll come to me.
Yes,
we'll remember.
Yes,
we'll come to
remember,
that later.
Yes, yes. But just to say that the this Sondheim and yeah. Works with his collaborator, I think this is his collaborator for the first time, called James Lapine, uh-huh. who is the playwright for the... and. Playwright for this yeah. for this particular piece. Somehow they got together. They were both, you know, these theatrical worlds merge from time to time. It seems that Lapine had actually floated the idea of Seurat in a previous piece of work that he did. He's yeah. an off-Broadway person, unlike Sondheim. Although Sondheim is a very unusual individual, he's largely appeared on Broadway. So this is the first time that his own language is really cracked into. I think, although it has been fractured before,
yeah.
now in conjunction with Lapine, it's very much more opened up and sort of yes. Yeah, so as I was saying, Lapine has used Seurat apparently in a play called Photograph, which was taken from a Gertrude Stein piece. It seems that Lapine's idea about using this particular painting is that it looks like a stage set. That
okay.
that was one of the reasons, apparently, why he and they chose this piece.
Right. It is a vast painting, isn't it? It's a huge painting.
A vast painting
for
with many, many
with
characters
yeah.
in it. The yeah. character that doesn't appear... Obviously, there are lots of elements of this sonic piece which don't appear in the painting, obviously, because they're yeah. different kinds of works. But George, obviously, the character of George is not in the painting.
Mm.
He is the person painting it. So this very idea of it's quite surreal to have George as this main character
right.
within the musical theatre piece,
yeah.
who is singing about what he's doing
right.
to his muse, who is called Dot, Pointillism and Dots. And so on.
Oh, right. OK, I see. Yes, yeah.
So...
Yeah. It's just come to me. Younger Than Springtime is the
yes.
Is the track.
Gale and Laughter.
Yeah,
yes.
exactly, where
yes.
he looks about 18.
Yes.
All right, shall we press on with track two?
Yes, because track two, yeah, I know, track two is... Well, as we said before, with these theatrical pieces, it's terribly difficult for any listeners there might be to get the full storyline because because you can't play everything, you can't. So we're hoping to do our best with this.
We're
the next one
it.
Is called Colour and Light, which obviously speaks for itself, really, in that it's about the painting process.
Right.
Order. Design. Composition. Tone. Form. Symmetry. Balance. More red. And a little more red. Blue, 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 even, even, good. Bum, 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 bum. More red. More blue. More beer. More light.
color and light. There's only color and light. Yellow and white. Just blue and yellow and white. Look at the air, miss. See what I mean. No, look over there, miss. That's done with green. Join with orange.
Nothing seems to fit me right. The less I wear, the more comfortable I feel. More rouge. George is very special. Maybe I am just not special enough for him. If my legs were longer, if my bust was smaller, if my hands were graceful, if my waist was thinner, if my hips were flatter, if my voice was warm, if I could concentrate, I'd be in the Follies. And I'd only want me more if I was a Folly girl. Nah, I wouldn't like it much. Married men and stupid boys, and too much smoke, and all that noise, and all that color and light.
Aren't you proper today, miss? Your parasol so properly cocked, your bustle so perfectly upright. And you, sir, your hat so black to you perhaps, so red to me.
None of the others worked at night.
So composed for a Sunday.
How do you work without the right, bright, white light? How do you fathom George?
Red, 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 orange, red, red, orange, orange. Pick up blue, pick up red, pick up orange. From the blue, green, blue, green, blue, green. Circle on the violet diagonal, diagonal. No, no, yellow, comma, yellow, comma. Nom, 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 nom. Still sitting, red that perfume, blue all night, blue, blue the window shut, dot, 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 sitting, dot, dot, waiting, dot, dot, getting fat, 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 more yellow, dot, dot, waiting to go out, out, out. No, 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 George, finish the hat, have to finish the hat first, hat, 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 it's hot in here. Only color and
as
light.
If he sees you and he doesn't all at once.
Purple and white.
What is he thinking when he looks like that?
And red and purple
does
and white.
Does he see sometimes not even blinking?
Look at this glade, girls. Your cool blue sky.
His eyes so dark and shiny.
No, stay in the shade, girls. It's getting hot.
Something cold and black.
It's getting orange.
But it's warm inside his eyes. And it's soft inside his eyes. And he burns you with his eyes.
Look at her looking.
And you're studied like the light.
Forever with that mirror. What does she see?
And you look inside the eyes.
The pink lips, the red cheeks.
And you catch him here and there.
Wide eyes, studying the round face, the tiny cup, seeing all the parts and none of the whole.
So you want him even more.
And the way she catches mine. And the color of her hair. I could look at him forever. Going well.
Should I wear my red dress or blue?
Red.
Aren't you going to clean up?
Why?
The Follies, George.
I have to finish the hat.
she yell or stay silent? Go without me or sulk in the corner? Will she be in the bed when the hat and the grass and the parasol have finally found their way to green? Do I care? To blue? Yes. To soft? What should I do? Well, red.
Was Colour and Light.
Indeed, yes.
I've often, I now get it about this finishing the hat business. I'd never understood that track before, but
right,
now, of course,
yes.
he's painting the hat.
Yes, that's why when things are taken out of context, very often these songs, they make no sense whatsoever.
No.
But if you love the song, you don't mind too much about that. But as you say, this is actually about finishing the hat within the painting.
Within a painting.
But isn't this right, crazy? Right. Isn't this whole thing just mad? The whole idea that there is this painter standing outside of the canvas who is supposed to be Georges Seurat.
Yes.
And observing his muse.
Well, there's certainly a degree of absurdity about it, especially when he keeps going red, 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 blue, 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 like that.
Yes.
Does it have anything to do with Georges Seurat, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I think that the only thing that it has to do with him is that they were each Sondheim, Lapine, and Seurat are trying to find new ways of engaging in whatever field they happen to be in, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yes, as a serious,
it is an absurdist sort of.
It is absurdist,
play,
and
isn't it?
It is really, and it's almost quite surreal in places.
Yeah.
Really, in that song alone, you don't know who, apart from George. George's viewpoint seems to remain the same, but
it seems to be about the torment of the models. He's got various people posing for this painting who are all complaining about the heat and the clothing.
And also complaining about their lot, appealing to this man to love them. You know, still this beat goes on, doesn't it? You know, saying, am I too, if my legs were longer, if my hair was thinner or fatter or whatever, you know, not being perfect enough.
That's,
right. So there are all these other undercurrents going on.
There is quite a famous painting, isn't there, of Seurat's mistress? Where she is probably, she doesn't look like one of the models of this painting, it has to be said.
No, but even in this, in the book, in the Sondheim Look, I Made a Hat, the second part of the collected lyrics, in the prelude to, in the description prior to the lyrics for this song, Colour and Light, he describes the situation in this way. He says it's George's studio, dot, in the likeness of Seurat's young woman powdering herself, which is probably the painting that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So even there, they've invoked yet another painting.
Yeah. They're, and the paintings themselves are highly stylized, and they become more stylized as his career goes on. He did lots of sketches of landscapes and so on.
Right.
But the figures and the circus pictures and so on are incredibly stylized.
Yes.
They're almost like caricatures, it must be said.
Yes, I suppose so.
I suppose that perhaps that inspired them to, I mean, the musical becoming caricatured and stylized as well.
Yes. Well, I suppose for a certain kind of performance, that's what you need for the ultimate audience engagement, is something larger, bigger than life, something that will take you somewhere else.
Yeah.
That, you know, taps into your imagination.
Yes. The next track is The Day Off.
The Day Off,
Anything to add to that? I mean, because we do have to, if you want to get through all these tracks, we're going to have to whistle along with this a bit.
Yes.
Do you know, why is it called The Day Off? Do we know?
Well, this is obviously referring to the painting, referring back to the painting itself, in that all of these characters that Seurat used to go to the island for, you know, to draw these characters every Sunday, presumably. I mean, as we saw when we went to the island, the island was full of painters at a certain point going around the island, documenting this, that and the other.
It's quite strange, isn't it? Because it seems like lots of painters, there are these strange sort of stopping off off points as you walk around the island. These like sort of things.
Yes, and you're invited to imagine the viewpoint as seen via Van Gogh or whatever it is.
Yes, and then you sort of look into the distance, hoping to sort of catch a glimpse of the factory.
But you see a motorway. And,
yes, there was a lot of that.
And there were on one side of the island, only one side was really. You could imagine that the trees in certain paintings are the trees that those painters saw.
And there were at least two people who seemed to be living under tarpaulins on the banks of the river,
on the side of the island facing the motorway.
All right. So should we go into the next track, The Day Off?
Yes. This invokes a lot of the characters from the piece.
If the head were smaller, if the tail were longer, if he faced the water, if the paws were hidden, if the neck was darker, if the back was curved, more like the parasol. Bum, 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 bum. More shade, more tail, more grass. Would you like some more grass? Roof, roof, thanks. The week has been rough. When you're stuck for life on a garbage scow, only 40 feet long from stern to prow, and a crackpot in the bow, wow, roof. Planks are rough, and the wind is rough, and the master's drunk and mean and gruff, gruff. With the fish and scum and planks and ballast, the nose gets numb and the paws get calloused. And with splinters in your ass, you look forward to the grass on Sunday. The day off, 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 off. Grass needs to be thicker, perhaps a few weeds, and some ants if you would. I love fresh ants. Roaming around on Sunday, poking among the roots and rocks, nose to the ground on Sunday, studying all the shoes and socks. Everything's worth it Sunday, the day off. Bits of pastry, piece of chicken, here's a handkerchief that somebody was sick in. There's a thistle, that's a shallot, that's a dripping from the loony with the pallet. Yep, yep, yep. But for the day on Sunday, but for the lady's lap at last, yep, and away on Sunday, hopes you forget the week just passed. Week at a lady's lap, nothing to do but yawn and nap. Can you blame me if I yap?
Nope.
There's only so much attention a dog can take. Being alone on Sunday, rolling around in mud and dirt,
begging a bone on Sunday, settling for a spoiled dessert.
Everything's worth it
Sunday,
the day off.
Something fuzzy,
something furry,
something pink that someone tore off in a hurry.
What's the muddle in the middle?
That's the puddle where the poodle did the piddle.
Taking the day on Sunday, now that the dreary week is dead. Getting away on Sunday brightens the dreary week ahead. Everyone's on display on Sunday.
The day off.
Bonnet flapping, bustle sliding, like a rocking horse that nobody's been riding. There's a daisy and some clover and that interesting...
Well, it's a virtuoso performance by Potinkin, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is.
Do you know, I mean, how did they stage this? Is he pretending to be a dog in the performance, or is he just singing from...
Well, unfortunately, I don't know. I haven't ever seen a production.
Right.
There have been productions, but I think they sort of... I mean, even more recently, I think in the sort of 2000s, there have been productions, but I haven't... I think there was a famous one at the National Theatre when they first started doing musical theatre in the 1990s, but I didn't see it.
Is it a vehicle for Potinkin? Do you think he wrote it with him in mind? Because it requires such... A broad spectrum of sounds and so on.
Certainly he would have come into... I don't know that it was written with him in mind. I don't know if you can write work like that. So I don't know. Otherwise, you know...
Everybody that could do that, would
no,
it? I mean, it's quite an
no,
extraordinary sort
be.
Of that range.
I know that, actually, on that point, I know that he, Sondheim, might... There are certain... Obviously, there are certain songs that only certain singers are capable of,
yeah.
i.e. Send in the Clowns and A Little Night Music he wrote with Glynis Johns in mind,
right.
Who isn't a singer. So the way that he wrote it is pitched for her, for her voice, half singing, half speaking kind of voice. So that Elaine Stritch, in Company, The Ladies Who Lunch, is like a talking piece. So it may be that he would have had her in mind.
Right.
So I'm not sure, yes. Mm. Obviously, he has a reputation, Potemkin. He is a virtuoso.
Yeah.
You know, his reputation, he had done Che before this.
Right.
So he would have been known in musical, I hate the description, musical theatre, but because it's so off-putting for people. He would have been known in those circles, obviously. And certainly Bernadette Peters would have been known too.
Right.
But I suppose, I don't think we've actually said what the storyline is supposed to be.
No. Well, I have no idea.
No,
I'm relying on you to...
In the book, once again...
is there a story?
Exactly.
The book actually is called... What's the book called?
Look, I Made a Hat.
So that refers specifically to this, to these tracks?
Well, this title does, yes, but the collected lyrics are from 1981 to 2011.
Uh-huh.
So it's just that he's extrapolating something from one of his songs.
All right.
So in this book, before each of the descriptions of the songs, or the play itself, Sondheim says what the so-called storyline is. You know, one gets the impression that the storyline, not so strangely, is the least of his concerns in a way. It's just what he's able to do within the construct itself with each song.
Yeah.
So it's more the words and music. He's done the work. He is the words, the lyrics.
Yeah.
He's the lyricist and the librettist.
Mm-hmm.
And Jays Lepine has written the scaffolding
for
the whole piece.
Yeah.
Sondheim describes it as the notion, and the notion, he says, is Act One concerns the French painter Georges Seurat and his creation of the Sunday afternoon on the island of La Grande Jatte, which took more than 2 years to complete. Act Two deals with the artistic crisis experienced by his great-grandson, an American conceptual artist in his 40s named George.
So there's a conceptual artist. So there's a strong, strange sort of leap across time.
Great-grandson. So like three or four generations hence, from the point at which the Seurat is painted, we now have this. But once again, this becomes a vehicle for Sondheim to...
And who plays the part of the grandson, great-grandson?
I presume that's... That Mandy Potemkin
does
plays,
he play all? Does plays, he sing all the parts?
Plays being, George again,
right? So what is he? Is he looking back then to the period when his great grandfather?
Well, we'll get to that when we get to the first song that we get, which actually is from the point of view of the great grandson George.
Yeah,
is track 12, which is called Chromalum. Stroke putting it together,
right?
Chromalum being the name, a fictional word that Sondheim invented to describe the installation piece that the great-grandson, George, has created and which people are looking at as an opening.
Right, OK. This is... Should we better launch straight into finishing the hat?
Yes,
do
let's.
You think?
Yes, let's. Okay.
Mademoiselles, you and me, pal. Second bottle, ah, she looks for me. Bonnet flapping, yapping, roof, chicken, pastry. Yes, she looks for me. Good. Let her look for me to tell me why she left me, as I always knew she would. I had thought she understood. They have never understood, and no reason that they should. But if anybody could. Finishing the hat. How you have to finish the hat. How you watch the rest of the world from a window while you finish the hat. Mapping out a sky. What you feel like planning a sky. What you feel when voices that come through the window go until they distance and die. Until there's nothing but sky. And how you're always turning back too late from the grass or the stick or the dog or the light. How the kind of woman willing to wait's not the kind that you want to find waiting to return you to the night. Dizzy from the height. Coming from the hat, studying the hat, entering the world of the hat, reaching through the world of the hat like a window, back to this one from that, studying a face, stepping back to look at a face, leaves a little space in the way, like a window. But to see, it's the only way to see. And when the woman that you wanted goes, you can say to yourself, well, I give what I give. But the woman who won't wait for you knows that however you live, there's a part of you always standing by, mapping out the sky. Finishing a hat, starting on a hat, finishing a hat, look, I made a hat, where there never was a hat.
There's a strange sort of combination there, isn't there, of the, he's... It's strange. It's a poignant track.
Yeah.
It's obviously romance and sadness in it.
Yes.
But he's talking about the hat. It's like this odd contrast.
Well, he's
basically
the key line for me there is there's a part of you always standing by. He's talking about himself. He's talking about the impossibility of him being able to commit to use awful current jargon to the thing that Dot wants, which is more of him, because she realises that he's always at one remove.
Well, it's because he's an artist.
Because he's always painting the sky or finishing the hat.
Yeah, but isn't this a
finishing the hat is more important to him.
The art is more important to him, which is obviously the case with many artists.
Yep. This is the problem.
This is a problem, isn't it?
It is the problem, I think.
So that the
because life is the
people take second place.
Take second place
to the grand project.
To the grand project and to the ambition, the blind ambition. But he's saying that he recognises that, but he still can't help himself.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Well, he's an artist.
By this time, they have split up, but she's pregnant.
Right. Okay.
She has gone off with Louis the baker, which we haven't even mentioned him because he's just boring. but anyway, so if we go on to We Do Not Belong Together, which is such a high point.
Right.
Yes, George, run to your work. Hide behind your painting. I've come to tell you I am leaving because I thought you might care. You know, foolish of me, because you care about nothing.
I care about many things.
Things. Not people.
People too. I cannot divide my feelings up as neatly as you. And I am not hiding behind my canvas. I am living in it.
But you care for it yourself.
I care for this painting. You will be in this painting.
I have something you can use.
I had thought you would destroy.
Because I understand that I left that.
And there's nothing I can say, is there?
Yes, George, there is. You could tell me not to go. Say it to me. Tell me not to go. Tell me that you're hurt. Tell me you're relieved. Tell me that you're bored. Anything, but don't assume I know. Tell me what you feel.
What I feel? You know exactly how I feel. Why do you insist you must hear the words when you know I cannot give you words? Not the ones you need. There's nothing to say. I cannot be what you want.
What do you want, George?
I needed you and you left.
There was no room
you
for me.
You will not accept who I am. I am what I do, which you knew, which you always knew, which I thought you were a part of.
No, you are complete, George. You are your own. We do not belong together. You are complete, George. You are alone. I am unfinished. I am diminished. What made it so right together is what made it all wrong. No one is you, George, there we agree. But others will do, George. No one is you, and no one can be. But no one is me, George. No one is me.
So is she pregnant at this point, did you say?
She is, but I don't think George knows.
Ah. So she goes off with Louis the baker?
Yes.
So are we supposed to think that the great-grandson then is brought up in the baker's lineage?
We don't know lineage. About that part of it. I don't know.
Okay.
But he's still got paint running through his veins, hasn't he? Or installation art.
Right. Yes. So the scenes with the installation artist, do we know any... I mean, how does that... work out? Do they keep going backwards and forwards in time? Does it keep sort of spinning, going back from...
No, because there are two definite acts. There's Act One,
yeah,
which we're ending this part of it now on Act One, although there are more tracks contained within Act One. We're not going to visit those because we haven't got time.
No.
The first track that we're going to play now is Chromalume, which is George the great-grandson at an art, an exhibition of his work, an opening.
Right, I see. Okay, so that'll be the next track, which is Chromalume stroke
putting it together.
Yeah.
Chromalume, apparently, I think I said before, they didn't say it, it's a colour and light machine.
Oh, right.
Apparently.
Oh, interesting.
That seems to be Sondheim's invention.
Yeah.
There was no such thing as a chromalume before him.
No, I see. Okay. Sounds like an example of sort of kinetic art or something. Perhaps it's supposed to be a time machine.
Could be.
He apparently was discovered, wasn't he, or certainly promoted, Seurat, that is, not Sondheim.
Yes.
By Felix Fénéon.
Right.
Who was something of an enigmatic...
A polemicist.
...character at the same period, who was also something of a noted anarchist.
Right.
And was even accused of blowing up a restaurant at the time.
Right.
When sort of anarchism was quite rife in Paris and across Europe. Well, he wanted to wipe out the
to
wipe out the bourgeoisie, I suppose.
It was quite topical then, wasn't it?
It was indeed. So where are we going next with this one?
Well, we were going to go to Chromalume. We could just give a little flavour of that because that's apparently the modern part of the play, Act Two, Great Grandson and all that.
Thank you.
not surprised.
But he combines all these different trends.
I'm not surprised.
You can't divide our today into categories neatly. Oh. What matters is the means, not the ends.
I'm not surprised.
That is the state of the art, my dear. That is the state of the art.
It's not enough knowing good from rotten.
You're telling me.
When something new pops up every day.
You're telling me.
It's only new, though, for now.
Nouveau.
But yesterday's forgotten.
And tomorrow is already passé.
There's no surprise.
That is the state of the art, my friend. That is the state of the art.
He's an original.
Was.
I like the images.
Some.
Come on, you had your moment, now it's George's turn.
It's George's turn, I wasn't talking
trends, I'm talking about
trends.
But
is it really new?
His own collaborator,
it's just promotion. But that is the state of the art, isn't it?
Well,
art isn't easy.
Even when you've amassed it,
fighting for prizes.
No one can be an oracle.
Art isn't easy.
Suddenly, you're past it.
All compromises.
And then when it's allegorical,
art isn't easy.
Art isn't easy.
All right, George, as long as it's your night, George, you know what's in the room, George, another chromaloom, George, it's time to get to work, George.
Well, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, and today's featured, what should we call it, music,
yeah.
Piece of music, musical
yes.
Theatre,
yeah.
Is Sunday in the Park with George, which is being explained to me by DJ Hybridist. I'm going to have to quickly get a burst of
right.
The Resonance stuff in here. Resonance FM's annual fundraiser runs from February the 13th to February the 21st, featuring 9 days of live events, a spectacular online auction, as well as a whole host of special broadcasts. Resonance relies on the support of our listeners. Help us to make more amazing programming by heading to resonance.fm to make a contribution. Back to Sondheim and DJ Hybridist.
Yes, well, just to say that that song, which we're having to fade out because it's incredibly long, it's almost
it is indeed, isn't it?
Over 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
Sondheim describes this song as being, this is in Act Two, it's 1984, and at the Art Museum where the painting hangs, he must mean the Seurat painting hangs,
yeah.
George's great-grandson, also named George, is being fêted at a cocktail party for art lovers, museum trustees and art critics on the occasion of the unveiling of his latest multimedia installation, which he calls a chromaloom. The guests discuss the work. So that's what we heard the guests saying, I don't really understand it. What's it all about?
Right. Yeah.
What's the meaning of it? And
yeah.
Then it goes on and on and on. It's like a mini sort of Tolstoy. It's got so many characters in it.
Oh, really? Is he called George as well?
He's called George as well.
With an S on it?
No, he's just George. As
okay.
In, yeah.
Right.
In more a sort of Anglican kind of way.
Right.
But that's a hugely long track.
Yes.
So we're skipping that. In fact, we're probably just...
we're going to lesson eight now.
Lesson eight. I'm not sure. You see, lesson eight is all about... This sounds crazy. Sondheim describes it like this. Later that year, George, this is the young George, the
yeah.
Great-grandson, visits the island of La Grande Jatte,
oh.
Where he's been invited to set up his chromaloom.
Oh.
Marie, that's his grandmother has died. Marie told him all about his famous great-grandfather and so on.
Right.
And George is brought with him, Marie being the daughter of George and Dot, George
okay.
Sura and Dot, the
oh,
muse.
Oh, right. So, yes.
And George is brought
up
with
by
him
the baker. Yeah.
With him, the language primer
right.
That Dot had been studying 100 years ago, which Marie has passed down to him. He's sceptical about this inheritance, half convinced that his grandmother had fantasized her relationship to Sura.
Oh.
Anyway, perhaps we should skip that lesson and we'll just go back to... Oh, should we listen to a bit of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we could have lesson eight. Let's listen to a bit of lesson eight. We can always fade it out.
Okay.
Charles has a book. Charles shows them his crayons. Marie has the ball of Charles. Good for Marie. Charles misses his ball. George misses Marie. George misses a lot. George is alone. George looks around, he sees the park. It is depressing. George looks ahead, George sees the dark. George feels afraid. Where are the people out strolling on Sunday? George looks within, George is adrift. George goes by guessing. George looks behind, he had a gift. When did it fade? You wanted people out strolling on Sunday. See, George, remember how George used to be, stretching his vision in every direction. See, George, attempting to see a connection, when all he can see is maybe a tree, the family tree. Sorry, Marie. George is afraid. George sees the park. George sees it dying. George too may fade, leaving no mark, just passing through. Just like the people out strolling on Sunday. George looks around. George is alone. No use denying. George is aground. George is outgrown. What he can do.
Well, this track is enigmatically called Lesson 8.
Right.
Any explanation for that?
Well, it's the primer that Dot had when she was... Because we've had to skip so much and size everything.
So we're now presumably... This is the 1970s.
It is the contemporary, but here's the thing. For the intro to the next one, which is called Move On, Sondheim says these are stage directions and also notes for the reader. Dot appears summoned by the book. Dot.
Oh, from way back.
From
1890 something.
Yeah, and addresses George as if he were the George of 1884. I mean, it's getting seriously.
Yeah.
She asks him, is he working on anything new? He answers no and tells her of his conviction that his creativity has dried up.
Oh, my God. Okay. So it's quite strange that, in a way, the two Georges are becoming the same.
Yes, I suppose so. They are merging.
It's as though there's been a continuation of this project through time and space or something.
Yes, as if. Yes. So
where are we?
We're on Move On now. We're on Move 15.
On. So we'll move on to Move On.
Well, yeah.
Something new.
No.
That is not like you, George.
I've nothing to say.
You have many things.
Well, nothing that's not been said.
Said by you, though,
I
George.
Do not know where to go.
And nor did I.
I want to make things that count. Things that
I
will
did what
be
I
new.
Had to do.
What am I to do?
Move on. Stop worrying where you're going. Move on. If you can know where you're going, you've gone. Just keep moving on. My world was shaken, so what? The choice may have been mistaken, the choosing was not. You have to move on. Look at what you want, not at where you are, not at what you'll be. Look at all the things you've done for me. Opened up my eyes. Taught me how to see. Notice every tree.
Notice every tree.
Understand the light.
Understand the light.
Concentrate
I
on
want
love.
To love. I want to explore the light. I want to know how to get through. Through to something new. Something of my own.
Well, this is sort of, I suppose this is a justification for him committing his life to art over her. She now sounds grateful, like, thank you for helping me see the world or something, as though she now agrees that the project was worthwhile in some way.
Yes.
Do you think?
Possibly, yes. They, they're saying that they were each...
You're saying if it hadn't been for him, she wouldn't see the world properly?
Yes, well...
Is that it? I mean, is it sort of... I don't know, you see, I don't know about this stuff. Is it saved from being a musical entertainment? Is there something else kind of... What is that buzzing noise? Was something else going on?
Yes, there's something else going on.
Yes. So, okay, and you've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, and this was Sunday in the Park with George, written by Stephen Sondheim.
And James Lapine.
And James Lapine.
Yes.
So perhaps you could... Do you want to round up? I mean, perhaps it warrants another programme, because we've hardly touched the...
No,
the,
well, if we could just sort of go out on Sunday, track 16, that would be great.
Right.
Yes, we've hardly touched, scratched the surface. This is a trouble because it is quite a complex work.
Indeed.
The answer to the question of is it any more than musical theatre is really up to the individual to decide, I think.
But what about you? How do you feel about it?
It is for me, but yeah. I like...
You're a big Sondheim fan, aren't you?
Not of all Sondheim, no.
No?
But
which ones are you not so happy with?
Well, I... For instance, I didn't think I liked Gypsy until I saw a good production,
yes.
So it may be that it's the production itself.
Right.
That's really.
And who was the lead in Gypsy?
Imelda Staunton.
Right. Okay. So, and she made all the difference in the same way that in this it's kind of
it's about Patinkin understanding. Yes, it's about understanding the drama and so on.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Sunday from Sunday in the Park with George by Stephen Sondheim.
Dot, why did you write these words?
They are your words, George. The ones you muttered so often when you worked.
Order. Design. Tension. Composition. Balance. Light. Dot, I cannot read this word.
Harmony.
So much love in his words. Forever with his colors. How George looks. He can look forever. What does he see? His eyes, so dark and shining.
So is this the finale?
Yes.
So this will be the last track in the whole musical.
Yeah, that's
right.
And it ends on a very good line.
But we won't get there, I'm afraid.
Okay.
So this was from Sunday in the Park with George, and thanks to DJ Hybridist.
Thanks for having me.
It.
I'm sorry it's been so scrambled.
No, it's a bit hurried, but there we are. Another time we can